Good morning and happy Saturday. Welcome to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative, coming to you from the Chamber's radio studio located in the lower level of the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and Siouxland Initiative offices at 101 Pier Street in downtown Sioux City. On behalf of our producer, Mr. Justin Barker, as we do each Saturday morning, we begin the program by thanking our program sponsor, Chris Bogenreef of NAI United. And if you joined us 1 week ago, you know that we did part one of our interview with Mr. Bogenreef. Reminder, Chris was the initial and inaugural founder of our Grow Siouxland radio program. He was the initial host. Today, he is a sponsor of the program and has been for over a dozen years. He's also our guest today for the second part of an interview focused on economic development throughout the tri-state area of Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. And Chris, we talked in your first interview 1 week ago about the growth we saw in Sioux City in spite of COVID. And you mentioned that it was somewhat attributable to one particular market area. What was that?
Food processing. I mean, that industry, that sector has kept this community stable for many, many years. And through the pandemic, it became even more apparent that because we are such a food-based community, food processors and supporting manufacturers, that we pretty much stayed stable through the whole episode. And part of that is because of you have to eat. Everybody's got to eat, even through a pandemic. And everybody wants a pet, so they need pet food. Everybody is at home, so they need microwave popcorn. It just, the list goes on and on, but it's the food processing.
It's somewhat reminiscent of what we saw back in the Great Recession, which was declared retroactive to 2007 in 2008, dragged on through 2009 and into a little bit of 2010. As a commercial real estate executive, you know this better than most. There were high highs and low lows, high highs leading up to that recession in real estate, low lows as we went into the depths of that recession. We didn't see that here.
No, we didn't. And I remember 2009 vividly because I thought I had to get out of the business. It was that bad. I don't think I did a deal in 2009. And it wasn't because people couldn't do deals. They just sat back for a year and waited to see what was going on. Everybody had, all these companies here had cash, they had capital, everybody just sat on the fence for a year. And so that's really in 30 years, that's really the only horrible year we had. So, but this time around during the pandemic, we weren't fazed by the pandemic. And then comes the inflation after all the supply chain issues and inflation. The only way to stop that is, you know, we've got to raise the interest rates. So we thought, everybody's thinking we're going to go into another recession. Well, we haven't really seen it yet. And we don't know if we're going to in 2023, but so far, we're not feeling it.
You know, you said something really profound a moment ago when you said everybody sat back. And I remember that very, very well because people were waiting to see not only what was going to happen with the economy, but I just looked this up, a quick Google search on my phone. They were also waiting to see what was going to happen with Obamacare.
Yes,
and I didn't realize it, but President Barack Obama signed the Affordable Care Act into law on March 23rd of 2010. But there were a couple of years of tremendous anxiety and uncertainty about whether the Obama administration would be able to secure enough votes in the House, enough votes in the Senate, negotiate a deal that he could get the minority party on board with. And that uncertainty also caused people to just hold on to their cash.
Yeah, that's right. And it was very apparent that the cash was still there because 2010, it just let loose again. And the economy's been doing well ever since.
And especially locally, as you said, primarily attributable to food processing and agribusiness. And people know that we have Tyson and Subi Honey and Jolly Time and Chesterman and Smithfield and so many outstanding food processing companies. Mm-hmm. But then let's talk about agribusiness. Baumgars.
Oh, yeah. Baumgars is exploding. In fact, Baumgars just became, with a recent purchase, became the second largest ag retailer in the country. What a great company to have right here in Sioux City.
Yes. Congratulations to Tori Wingert, the CEO of Baumgars, and to Roger and Jane and Aaron Baumgars. And as you remember, Chris, we talked about this a number of years ago. They had a $17 million capital investment when they put a new warehouse right down there off of Zenith Drive and mm-hmm. Triview. And they could have put it anywhere throughout their service territory, and they put it right here in their hometown.
That's right. That's right. Now, speaking of the large food processors, the big packing plants, the Tysons, the Seaboard, you know, those types of things are so important to this economy, because I would argue that the majority of our wealth in this community is not necessarily those packing plants. It's the value added manufacturers that take the byproducts from those large plants and they add value to them and create wealth. And I would argue that it's those spin-off companies that really creates the wealth in Sioux City, in Siouxland. And that's why it's important to keep our major manufacturing plants, the Tysons, the Seaboard, because we need to keep the value-added processors here, and they're only here because they need byproducts.
You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSCJ, 1360 AM, 94.9 on your FM dial. Our guest today is Mr. Chris Bogenreef, a principal and executive leader of NAI, United Commercial Real Estate. And Chris, you know, we touch upon a couple of these food processing companies that are so important to the Siouxland community. And off the top of my head, you talk about Tyson and Smithfield and Seaboard, Triumph Foods, Jolly Time, Subi, Chesterman, Palmer, Hearthside, formerly Interbake Foods,
Royal Canin,
Wells Blue Bunny, Royal Canin, Consumer Supply,
Fimco, I guess,
the food processing and ag, and we touched upon Baumgars, they are the foundation of this local economy.
Right.
Other sectors that you see, and a week ago you mentioned how strong heavy manufacturing was.
Yeah, and I can tell you from a commercial real estate perspective how I know industrial is strong, because we have never seen our inventory of industrial products so low ever, and since, well, at least in the last 30 years. We have nothing left to show. So now we need some spec developers. We need some guys to start taking a few risks and putting up some warehouses, some distribution centers, because we have no product left to show. So that's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing, because it's hard to grow when we don't have any product. So I've never seen that leads to, so industrial is strong, that leads to land. We're seeing more land sales than we've ever seen in the last 5 years, just because there's no buildings left. So people are buying up land and starting to it's important, and that's also why we need the Siouxland Initiative and the city of Sioux City and all the surrounding cities to make sure we have available large tracts of land ready to develop, shovel ready.
Chris, for those who may not understand how important industrial manufacturing is, talk about some of the businesses that make such a difference in our community.
Oh, yeah. State Steel, Fimco, Sabre. You know, these aren't food processors, but they're important parts of the food chain here. State Steel, they use their product in all of these manufacturing facilities. Sabre, creating the telecommunications towers and the galvanizing plant. As I understand, they just expanded and pretty much maxed out their site now, which is, I don't know how many acres that is down by the airport.
Hard to believe, but when you drive down south of the airport and south of the Air National Guard base, and you see what I think is called their inventory or lay down yard, it is incredible to see the size and the amount of product that is available in that yard, the inventory. So Shout out to those folks because they have grown by leaps and bounds, and the cell phone towers became utility pole towers as well as that company continues to grow.
Yeah, it's all these sectors of the industrial market here and the heavy manufacturing seem to be doing very well, and most of them have an ag twist to them, not all, but the industrial sector is by far our strongest. And to transition into the next sector, one of the reasons the number two sector is multifamily, the reason that's so popular is because of the industrial growth and the workforce has nowhere to live. So you're seeing more multifamily developments probably in our city's history in this period of the last 5 years. And specifically, well, you're seeing it all over the metro, but downtown is pretty exciting. There are so many projects going on downtown right now.
Residential base, and after a short commercial break, we're going to continue to visit with Chris Bogenrief of NAI United Commercial Real Estate about downtown housing and some of the specific projects throughout our tri-state area. We'll be right back with Chris Bogenrief after a short commercial break.
Looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property in Siouxland? One call is all you need. NAI United, the largest and highest producing commercial real estate firm in Siouxland. Speak with Bo Bronger, Nick Manson, Aaron Rooney, Nate Connolly, or Chris Bogenrieve. NAI United has the answers to your questions for commercial real estate in all corners of Siouxland. All NAI agents are licensed in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Put NAI United to work for you today. Go to NAIUnited.com and learn more. NAI United, uniquely positioned to serve your needs.
Welcome back to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan of the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative serving as your host this morning. We appreciate Justin Barker, our producer, and we're grateful to the founder of this program, the longtime host, and today's sponsor, as well as our guest, Mr. Chris Bogenrieve. Chris is a principal and an executive with NAI United Commercial Real Estate. And before we jumped into a commercial break, Chris was beginning to tell us about some of the growth that he is seeing in downtown residential living. Chris, tell us what you're seeing and what people can expect in the future.
Yeah, there's a boom of multifamily developments downtown, and most of it's attributable, I'm not even going to try that word, Chris, but most of it comes from tax credits. There's federal, there's historic, there's state of Iowa tax credits to help these developers make economic sense of rehabbing all these old buildings. Well, our inventory is getting pretty low downtown. A lot of our historic buildings are either redeveloped or under development. And I'm going to give you a few stats here, but in the last few years, there have been 438 units added downtown.
That's remarkable. 438 is so significant. Those are individual units, maybe they're studios, maybe they're one bedroom, maybe they're two bedroom, but 438 independent units, and you can't get one, can you?
No, there's waiting lists for everything. And if you don't believe me, 438's just what I could think of. The Beacons Apartments on Wesley Way by the Hard Rock, 72 units. Virginia Square that Ho-Chunk developed, the four-building campus they developed by Arby's, that's 99 units. The Warrior Apartments is part of the Warrior Hotel redevelopment, which was $77 million. That was 56 apartments. The Urbane Lofts on the east end of Historic 4th, 56 units. The Bluebird Flats in the old Commerce Building, 71 units. The Copper Flats in the old Hatch Furniture, 30 units. That's what's been developed just in the last few years. Now I'm going to tell you what's under development right now. There's another 448 under construction as we speak.
So they're obviously responding to demand. What is driving the demand for people to want to live in an urban downtown area? Because it's quite a bit different from being out in a neighborhood.
It is. I think our society in general has become more mobile, where even the millennials don't really want to own a house. They want to stay mobile. They haven't really settled down yet and maybe haven't started having kids, and they just want to be mobile, and they want to be near the amenities. They want to be able to walk to restaurants, walk to bars, walk to entertainment. and live in a more exciting environment.
Does that make you feel old? Because it sure does me.
It does. It does. But just wait. When you're an empty nester, you might think about it, because there's also a lot of empty nesters that are doing the same thing. So you got the millennials and you got the empty nesters, and they're choosing to live downtown because it's no maintenance. Walk wherever you want to go.
You don't spend your weekend mowing the lawn?
No.
Or shoveling the walk?
Exactly. It's just easy living and very mobile. So that's what's driving it. But here, there's 448 units under construction right now. The Badgero has 71 units coming online. The Benson building is going to have 83 units.
Wait a minute. Let's back up. The Badgero building, once known as the Monarch of the City, which was constructed in the wake of the Great Depression, right down there on like 2nd or 3rd
and Jackson. 4th and Jackson.
4th and Jackson Street. How many units?
71 units.
Okay.
And they're going to do commercial on the 1st and 2nd and top floors, and then all the other floors are going to be apartments, but they're going to have 71 of them, and they're putting $21 million into it.
Wow.
And then just next door, the Riviera Theater is under redevelopment for a few million bucks. Kitty corner from the Badgero is the old Hilton. That's going to be the Amara Gardens. That's some docs from Atlanta, Georgia, that are going to do some senior housing. So another good addition for a mix of housing downtown. It's close to Mercy Hospital. It's connected on the Skywalk. They're putting another 20-some million into that. And that will add 160 units, just that project.
You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSEJ. If you've just joined us or just jumped in your automobile, our guest today is Chris Bogenreef of NAI United. So, Chris, we had over 400 units downtown. They're all spoken for, and there are another over 400 on the drawing board or under construction as we speak.
Correct. And the ones under construction, we mentioned Badgero, Benson, Warrior, Amara Gardens. But there's also the Floyd River Flats, which is 46 units being added in the old Ramada across from Walgreens to the east. That's 46 units. So that's taking a hotel, turning it into apartments. The old Novelty Machine just east of Mercy Hospital, that's under contract for a tax credit housing redevelopment right now. And that would add 21 units. Alf's. Was purchased. The Alfs had four buildings down on historic 4th Street. Ho-Chunk purchased those. They're going to be starting on one of those buildings soon, and they've got four buildings that they're going to add, especially the big one that Alfs was headquartered in.
That's
going to be apartments.
What a beautiful facility.
Yeah, so they're going to add 35 units in there. There's probably some more I'm missing, but that gets you about 450 units under construction right now downtown. And like I said, there's waiting lists on everything.
Do you think that the trend, so let's just round it up to about 1,000 units. Do you expect that to continue to grow beyond that number?
I do, because I've been told, I don't know if it's how accurate it is, that we're still 7,000 plus units short. So I think you're going to continue seeing more housing coming.
Well, and the housing isn't just limited to downtown, is it?
No. There's housing all over. Morningside, Northside. I mean, it's being developed everywhere.
Apartments, duplexes going, and residential developments are going up everywhere.
Yep. And so, that's a strong sector. And I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to jump to a couple other ones. Let's talk office. Office was probably the hardest hit sector. And the pandemic has kind of changed the game on office. Companies just aren't going to need as much office space as they used to.
And is that because they're allowing folks to work remotely in a post-COVID environment?
Yes. I mean, a lot of these companies are going hybrid or fully remote or, a mix. Some have to go back to work, some are hybrid, and some are going fully remote. So it's just going to change the game for office. So you probably won't see a lot of office development, but you'll see what we have fill back up, but there's going to be a lot of office probably going on the market in the dunes here soon. Obviously, the Tyson announcement is going to be a blow to us, but we'll absorb it, but it's going to take a lot of time. There's almost 200,000 feet under one roof out there in Dakota Dunes, and that'll take time.
Do we know specifically who owns that property?
IBP Inc., which is fully owned by Tyson. So they do own the property. And I would imagine that'll be, you know, coming on the market sooner or later. You know, it's a testament to our community, though, because I know Tyson, you know, initially was hoping to get maybe, I don't know, 50-60%.
Yeah, the number I heard was that they hoped that of the 500 plus, almost 600 people at Dakota Dunes, they hoped about 65%. They projected 65%.
Yeah, and by November, I think they had 10%. Now, they've probably gone back and they've upped that sum, but by November to have 10%, that's a huge testament to people wanting to stay in Siouxland, which is great for our community.
In spite of the fact that the other Tyson office in Downers Grove, Illinois, and Chicago, Illinois, two different offices with a similar number of employees, had 5%, I believe, according to the Wall Street Journal, that said they'd relocate to Arkansas, but they have a lot more professional opportunities in suburban Chicago and down in the Loop. ConAgra, McDonald's, Abbott Labs. We don't have all of those gigantic corporations with a presence that can absorb that number of workers, but they decided to stay anyway, which I agree with you, Chris. Is there a more powerful testament or message about wanting to live in the Siouxland Metro than that?
No, that's it's a great testament, and we'll absorb it. You know, when Gateway moved to California, I think it took us about 18 months to absorb all the excess, not even really the office. I'm talking about housing.
Sure.
It took us about 18 months to get through that, but that was 6,000 employees.
A very significant number. I think some people would be surprised to realize that at the time Gateway began to close their operations, they had 6,000 people employed in the metro. Yeah.
I don't know how much time we have, but I'm going to put one shout out to Mike Wells, because I wish all of our CEOs and all of our presidents of our companies could do what Mike did to keep Wells in Lamar's and sell to a company that would allow them to operate autonomously. I think that was such a huge thing that Mike did for our community. And I know we're out of time, but I just had to do a shout out, and we'll cover the other parts in another time, but appreciate.
Well, Chris, we'll look forward to trying to bring you back in at the midpoint of the year, somewhere around the 4th of July. And, we are grateful for your continued sponsorship. Thank you for sharing your experience and expertise with us over the course of the last 2 weeks. And we'll look forward to another interview sometime around the 4th of July.
That sounds great. Appreciate being on the show.
You've been listening to Grow Siouxland. Our guest for the last 2 weeks has been Chris Bogenrief, who is the sponsor of Grow Siouxland, a principal with NAI United. We'll be back with more next Saturday. Make it a great weekend.